98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Catch it in from the corner.
Wolf and Luke.
Brings the boom and catching bodies on his way to the rack.
Suns, game day with K-Ray.
I'm ready for whatever. I'm ready for whatever.
It is a game day for the Suns tonight at home against Karl Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves. So joining us right now in the 72 Sold Sports Line, as he does for every weekday game day, is Kevin Ray of Bally Sports for game day with K-Ray. K-Ray, how are you feeling about this one tonight?
Excited because, one, you know, it's another chance to, you know, be back on the home floor, another sellout crowd. We'll be on hand tonight, and it, you know, to take on a Minnesota team that, you know, we've seen it, guys, over the last couple of years. I mean, they've had some talented players. It's just a matter of them kind of pulling it together as a team, and they've shown signs of that. And you know, Cat is certainly still one of the great talents in the NBA, and then Ant-Man is just continues to wow you every time he steps on the floor. So, you know, it'll be another big challenge for the Suns and one that I'm looking forward to call.
Okay, when is the last time you heard somebody say D-Book is going to go play with Karl Anthony Towns? What is that? Isn't it nice to say it's been a long time, Kay?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it felt like every other day there was the rumor about, you know, hooking back up with Cat, and then when D'Lo came, I'm like,
yep.
Have any of you folks ever like sat down and like really looked at how these guys play? But you know, it makes for great headlines and clickbait and stirring up the social media circles for sure.
Okay, the response from Devin Booker and from Chris Paul about not being named All-Star starters, and we're all assuming they're going to make the All-Star team, I would hope. But the response, particularly from Devin Booker, we've played it a few times throughout the show today about how that's not really something he's hung up on at this point in his career. I know that's the right thing to say, and not everybody would say it, but it seems like from Devin Booker it's genuine. Do you feel that way?
It is, but having said that, as we've all had a front row seat to Book, and you know, he burns and operates differently. And, you know, guys, just throwing a little science at you today. Water boils, I believe it's 212 degrees.
Let me write that down. Okay, there we go.
So I don't expect a whole lot of words coming from Book other than what I do believe is genuine about them wanting, you know, really wanting to reward Monty and the coaching staff as being the coaches representing the Western Conference. That I absolutely believe. But I also believe, and I know without Book telling me, that there will be a slow, white, hot burn in that guy. I'm not going to say scorched earth tour, but he's already been sending little reminders and hints over the last 3 weeks, considering where the fan votes were. So, yes, his words are genuine, but I also expect some quiet assassin work coming from number one.
Yes. So you think Chris Paul, of course, and Devin Booker will be on the All-Star team at some point, right?
I absolutely believe that. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, that is good to know right there, obviously, that you feel so strongly about that. Were you shocked by anything you saw on that All-Star voting?
You know, Wolf, I'm never shocked anymore. And look, this is not to take a swipe at the fans. Look, the players love the fans. We love the fans. But, you know, at the end of the day, when, you know, fan vote might as well be fan vote slash popularity contest. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is. And, you know, for me, and look, all the respect in the world to Klay Thompson, but you know, one of the changes, and every year we go through this and talk about what needs to be changed, what needs to be added, deleted, et cetera. But, you know, one of the things for me, which I thought was just an absolute farce, is why is Klay Thompson's name even on the ballot? To me, if you haven't played, you know, the team's first 20 games, 25 games of the season, considering where the voting falls, your name shouldn't be placed on the ballot to give fans a chance to, you know, to take their vote away from somebody who is deserving, a Devin Booker. And look, Ja Morant has got a lot of fan votes, but to me, it just creates an unnecessary distraction for the fans.
Talking to Kevin Ray of Bally Sports, it is game day with K-Ray Suns set to take on Minnesota tonight. Kay, we're less than 2 weeks away from the NBA's trade deadline. James Jones is on with Burns and Gambo earlier this week, and he said he didn't rule out the possibility of making any moves, but he did kind of say, look, unless you catch a team that's giving up, it's probably a lateral move, and I believe in the team I built in the summer. If you were going to add something to this Suns team, or maybe you don't even need to, I mean, do you see any sense of urgency for them to do anything in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, and I don't know that I would say sense of urgency, but I will say, and I know Mark Stein reported this morning. Look, I'm a believer in Landry Shamet, but look, bottom line is that the numbers don't lie, guys. And, I think we've all been waiting for Landry to kind of take that, I don't want to say the next step, but the consistent step. So if there is an area where you're going to look at trying to consistently bolster yourself, it would be something from a perimeter. We can always have the monster power forward, the Jeremy Grant of the world on our wish list in terms of the power forward. But, you know, it's easy to throw those names out there, but discount what you're going to have to give up. And I think at the end of the day, that's what it really comes down to, you know, for James is, look, we can add something, but what are we giving up? And not just in terms of productivity, what are we giving up in terms of people? Because as we've all seen, it is ultimately the people, the players, how they conduct themselves off the court, which has had as much of an impact on this team's success as what they're doing on the court.
You know, we've talked a little bit about Devin Booker in the All-Star game and how he might feel about it, and I think we all know how Chris Paul feels about it as well. What about Monty Williams? What do you think it would mean to Monty Williams to be the head coach of the West All-Star team?
Well, and this just speaks to the humility of Monty Williams, the way he conducts himself, and he would certainly say that he is honored, but I think that it would mean the world to him. Not something that he wakes up motivated by every day, just as, you hear guys say, I didn't wake up every day, dreaming of, and my motivation being that gold jacket. But you were certainly humbled, honored, and grateful for the acknowledgement. And I think it speaks to what Monty has put together with his staff, with James, with these guys, that they are so intent on getting him that recognition. And Monty, his second time around as a head coach, has been able to do many, if not all of the things, aside from winning a championship, of, atoning for some of the flaws that he had as a first-time head coach. And that, to me, is what speaks volumes about what he's been able to accomplish.
Talking to Kevin Ray of Bally Sports, Kerry, it's early still to look at like potential playoff scenarios, but I don't know if you've taken the time to look towards the bottom of the Western Conference playoff picture. I was, because of Minnesota. Can't help but notice that the Lakers and Clippers are both there, and there's a very good chance, if one of those teams doesn't get it together soon, that could actually be who the Suns play in the first round, either the Lakers or the Clippers. So I guess we just ramp this up right from the start, huh?
Might as well, right? I mean, that's how the fun started last year. Look, the one thing about this team is they will not shy away from any team. And I know all of the fans of those two teams in particular will come back and say, yeah, but you didn't have to face this with this guy or that guy. Okay. Do we know for sure that those guys you're referring to are going to be available this April and May? Because they weren't last year. And yeah, History suggests that they're probably not going to be available. So, look, it is what it is. For me, I always kind of glance at the standings. I'll start really taking a look at the standings about the 1st of March, when you are about 5 to 6 weeks out. That's when you can really kind of start formulating and getting an idea of, like, okay, this guy's been injured, he's coming back, or, this guy just went on the shelf for the next, 3 to 4 weeks. So I think that's what you have to do. But it is fun to look at the standings and potential matchups. And, look, we all know the energy in the building when it's Suns and Lakers. So let's bring on the fun.
Absolutely. Listen, Cameron Payne, DeAndre Ayton, JaVale McGee, Jay Crowder. Who comes back first?
I can say that campaign among that group is probably going to be last, because just the report that we got on Monday was that he would be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So that you already know the timeline there. I would expect to see, I think we'll probably see DA Sunday. I don't know that for, with any certainty, but my gut kind of tells me we're looking at Sunday. And Jay could be Sunday, but I would say probably more realistically Tuesday.
Okay, so you haven't talked with a trainer. Is that what you're saying?
I have not.
All right, Kevin Ray, great stuff as always, man.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That's Kevin Ray of Bally Sports joining us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. It could be interesting going up against Karl Anthony Towns, missing all those guys. That's some size up front they're missing tonight.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Also, have you noticed what's on this TV? This is going to be very distracting for the last 45.
Oh, my goodness. Super Bowl 43.
Yeah, they're replaying the entire game.
No!
Yeah. Do we change it, or do we leave it on so that Burns and Gambo have to deal with the second half of it?
Man.
Yeah,
Daquan is playing.
That's true. And it's Kurt Warner throwing right
as
there.
As long as we're out of here by halftime.
Yeah, we'll be out right at halftime, I think. So, yeah, we'll be going out with that halftime. Sammy Hagar and George Thorogood are heading to Akchin Pavilion for their Crazy Time tour. You can win a pair now by visiting the contest page on ArizonaSports.com. Coming up next, we'll look deeper at the AFC Championship game. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, are they going to their third straight Super Bowl, or do Joe Burrow and the Bengals actually have a say in this? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
They're bringing the heat with the music today. Why can't I? Is this Deftones?
Yes.
Okay. I would have felt really.
Sorry, there's no lyrics
stupid.
In this one, though.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. It's a rejoin. Wolf, however, is not fine.
No.
With that. He's going to let you know.
Nope.
All right. AFC Championship game. Here
Over
we go,
it.
Wolf. This
Over
is our, this is
okay.
our last chance to talk about it before
not quite,
the.
But now I am.
Okay, now you're over.
Yes.
That's a good riff. Last chance to talk about this before it actually happens on Sunday. What's the path? Maybe let's approach it this way.
This is going to be a better game than most people think.
Yeah, okay, because this is
How about
Kansas
that?
City's pretty heavily favored considering where we are in the playoffs.
Yes.
To be favored by 7. I agree with you. I don't think it's impossible Cincinnati wins this game. But I just, what we saw at the end of that Bills game was such a reminder of the Chiefs being like, no, this is ours. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If they're going to play like that, like they did in the final 2 minutes, I guess we're going to know early. They're either going to carry that over and they're winning the Super Bowl, or they threw everything they had into that and it might take them a little while to get going again. We've seen the Chiefs be uneven in some of these games, especially defensively, and Joe Burrow can sling it and the Bengals have just as many weapons as Buffalo does on offense.
Yeah, there is a path, I think, for Zach Taylor, of course, the head coach for the Cincinnati Bengals, and so much of it revolves around Joe Mixon And Joe Mixon, I think, is also a very underappreciated running back in the National Football League. A two-way guy, a guy that can catch the ball coming out of the backfield, and a guy that can run the ball. And he does present a problem sometimes in the open field because he is a bigger back as well who's got a little wiggle to him from time to time. He can go around you or he can truck you. And I think the Cincinnati Bengals believe that they can run the ball against the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think that's what we're going to see. They're going to poke the tiger right in the belly, run in between the tackles, see if they can't shorten the game, because to me, as we all saw against the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, you lengthen the game, you give them time, and they're going to score points. Shorten the game, possess the ball, keep Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and that explosive offense on the sideline. It is an old man's approach to this game, ladies and gentlemen. Yet, the more and more we evolve in the game of football, the more the pillars remain the same. And I will tell you right now, that is one way to beat a Kansas City Chiefs team that is explosive. Possess the ball.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong. That would be my approach, too. That's your only chance. But isn't it a little unnerving to see what they did last week and be like, okay, guys, we got to keep them off the field, minimize their time. Well, okay, coach, it takes them 13 seconds to march down the field. How many points they score in the last 2 minutes of the game? I mean, it's all you can do. It's all you can do is try to keep Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill off the field. That's all you can do. And ideally, you would force some turnovers. Mahomes was throwing interceptions earlier in the season, not so much anymore. Lewis Riddick says this one's going to come down to defense.
It's about fundamentals. And the fundamental that's going to really be the deciding factor here is tackling for both of these defenses against these prolific, high-flying offenses, namely on the outside at wide receiver. Look, when you think about the Kansas City Chiefs, when you think about Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, you've seen them time and time again take short plays, turn them into huge gains, just on wide receiver screens, tight end screens, and then these guys are out of the gate. And the last time these two teams played, Ja'Marr Chase had 266 yards receiving against the Kansas City Chiefs. 153 of those yards came after the catch. That's just ridiculous. So if you can't get these guys on the ground, you're going to have a problem. And you would have to assume that the defenses themselves are going to play a top-down approach, meaning we're not going to let you just bomb it over our head. We're going to make you throw it in front of us, and then we'll tackle you. Well, the key is making sure you get these guys on the ground, because if you don't, you might as well let them throw it over your head, because the result's going to be the same.
What is your feeling on that?
Well, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase in particular, if he doesn't go off, I don't see how Cincinnati wins this game. He did go off for 11 catches, 266 yards, and three scores last time. I mean, if Kansas City wants to play around and let him get free after the catch, we could have a game. Looking back, though, Wolf, on that meeting that they had towards the end of the season, Cincinnati won at 34-31. Kansas City scored 3 points in the second half of that game. I can't imagine that happening again.
Yeah, you know what? What week was that again?
That was late. Was that week 17? January 2nd.
17. Oh, my goodness.
So not even 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, really interesting. For me, I see one path for the Cincinnati Bengals, and that is, as I said, to run the ball, possess the ball, and maximize their opportunities to score when they have to. We all know the Kansas City Chiefs. The one weakness, I think, for the Kansas City Chiefs has been their rush defense, and I think we'd all agree on that over the years. Tyrann Mathieu, and whether or not Tyrann Mathieu is going to be completely ready to go and good to go, is a huge deal for the Kansas City Chiefs. There's no doubt about that, because of the leadership that he brings, but also because of the mix that he brings, the wild card that he brings on the defensive side of the ball to make plays. He's got great instincts, incredible instincts. Yes.
But since I never got to make my last Fulcrum football pick, I'll take Tyrann Mathieu.
How about that right there?
Just throw him right in
there.
That's
not bad. He's got a knack for making a big play when it matters the most. There's no doubt about that. But listen, if they can do that, if they can keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline and still maximize their possessions, meaning the Bengals, they got a chance. They got a chance to win the game. But, man, there's a lot of things that need to go right for that to happen.
What about this, too? It stood out in the Chiefs-Bills game. Everybody talks about the final 2 minutes of the game, right? But the final 2 minutes of the first half took a while, too. And I would imagine I'll have the exact stats in front of me, but I've watched enough football this season to know the Chiefs, if they get the ball in the last 2 minutes, they usually find a way to get some points out of it, right?
Yep.
Maybe just possess the ball for the final 2 minutes of each half. Like, just don't let the Chiefs get into that two-minute offense at the end of the half. Do whatever you got to do, because you're fighting an uphill battle. I don't want to say it's impossible. I don't want to paint the picture as more difficult than it is, or more dire for Cincinnati than it is. Cincinnati's really good. They've got a potentially great quarterback, so you always have a chance. But Kansas City, I mean, that offense, that's one of the few offenses I can remember in, what, like the last 10 years that you could classify as scary when they have the ball, and they seem to have woken back up.
Yeah.
I mean, they've lost one game since late October, since October 24th. Since the week before Halloween, Wolf, the Chiefs have lost one game. And it was to Cincinnati.
Yeah. No, you know, honestly, I know it. I get it, man. This is going to be really, really critical. But how the Chiefs defend the run is also going to be critical. They did not do well. They did not. That is something that has plagued them since Andy Reid, frankly, showed up there and suddenly had this high-powered offense and had a hard time with their defense in between the tackles, specifically. Once again, number 31 in yards per attempt given up by the Chiefs this year.
Yeah.
Number 31, man. And they were number 17 in yards per game. And everyone says, well, that's not too bad. Yeah, you're right. It isn't too bad. But so much of the time, the Chiefs had a lead and teams were throwing the ball against them. It's the yards per play that has blown up on them in the past. And it's one of the things, if the Bengals can stay in this game, the longer they can stay in it, the better their odds are of winning it.
Zach Taylor says, we don't fully appreciate just how impressive Joe Burrow is yet.
It has been impressive, you know, the way he's played this last stretch of the season, particularly now that he's felt fully healthy. You know, we never take him for granted, but there's a lot of really impressive things he does that maybe aren't as impressive to us anymore because we're just used to it. And that's kind of his standard, his greatness. But again, we do step back and always take a moment to appreciate what we've got there at that quarterback position.
Yeah.
I mean, you're set for a while. If you've got Joe Burrow, you're set for the foreseeable future.
Man, I'm telling you right now, of all the quarterbacks, of all the young quarterbacks that I have been the most impressed with, it's Joe Burrow. It is Joe Burrow, man, and it's because of the beating that he took this year. He took a beating his rookie year as well.
And he got hurt because of it. Like, they got to figure out a way to block for him.
No, exactly. That is job number one in the offseason. But the beating that he took this year, and to see the way he has developed underneath that beating. I mean, you go to the last game that he played, nine sacks, and they won the game. I've never even heard of it. I said it the Monday after. I said, I've never seen anything like that before in my life, where a quarterback gets sacked nine times and you win the game. Show me when that's happened before. That's incredible.
But that, I mean, playing Tennessee, that was a lower scoring game. If Joe Burrow gets sacked more than, what, four times, they're not beating the Chiefs. Because you're going to need to put up what you figure probably at least 31 points to win this game if you're Cincinnati. I mean, just the reality they're dealing
with. How many possessions? It is. You know, you're going to 30 points, I think, is a good place to start.
You have to block for him, though. Otherwise, we're going to end up with another Andrew Luck here in like 5 years, where it's like, oh, that guy's really good and he's retiring in his 20s because he just keeps getting hit too much. But as far as Sunday, yeah, absolutely. Joe Burrow gives them a chance. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we'll get you the latest news around the NFL, specifically the head coaching carousel and how a couple jobs are looking like they could potentially impact the Cardinals. That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke.
Alert, alert, alert!
Presented by 72 Soul. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Okay, here's a name for you, live from the Auction Community Studios on this Friday afternoon. Wolf.
What up, Baselineans?
Also, by the way, we've set this up perfectly. Now, we didn't put Super Bowl 43 on this TV. It's on in here. But as we walk out, Burns and Gambo are going to walk in for the second half of that game. Yeah. So we're sitting here putting ourselves through the first half just so they have to see the second half during their show.
Yeah, okay, that's great.
Because that's the sort of people we have become.
I think Bear already said this. Let's get out of here before halftime.
Yeah.
I think Bear said that.
Yeah, I'll be right out the door. I'm going to throw a name at you, okay?
Okay, a name.
A name. See if you remember this name.
Your name is your number, and your number is your name.
Well, I don't know what to do with that, but how about Josh McCown potentially being
McCown,
the Houston Texans head coach?
What?
Potentially.
Josh McCown. Where has Josh been?
I assumed he was backing up every team in the league like he was the last 20 years.
Josh McCown? What?
I actually know where he's been.
Stop.
He was watching his sons play high school football. Because Tom Pelissero tweeted this out within the last hour, and his initial tweet was former NFL quarterback for every team. He was like the all-time quarterback. Remember playing pickup football when you were a kid?
Absolutely love Josh McCown. Absolutely love him. Would not hire him as my head coach at this point of his career.
Well, here we go. He's in Houston today for a second interview with the Texans about their head coaching job.
Wow.
Sources tell me and Mike Garafolo, McCown has told the team he's all in. Now he's the first known finalist. And then Tom Pelissero followed that up by saying the Texans explored hiring Josh McCown a year ago, but he didn't feel ready and wanted to watch his sons play high school football. This time it's different, and he's a serious candidate for the job.
Man, do I think that Josh McCown would be a great head coach one day? Yes! Yes! I believe that. Does he have to cut his teeth somewhere? First, yeah.
Oh, here? Okay, here's
I don't know if watching college football is actually going to do that. I don't.
We'll find out. Potentially.
I mean, wait a minute. Did you say he was watching his sons in high school?
High school
or
football.
College?
High school football.
Okay. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yeah, honestly.
Have you seen the Texans play lately?
Yeah. Okay. I just don't know. Is that going to fire up your fan base? I love Josh McCown. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This guy is super smart. He's got a personality as well. He's strong. Oh, my goodness. He's so strong inside. The strength of his person is amazing. You've got no head coaching experience. Am I seeing that correctly?
Mm-hmm. But it's the perfect situation, really, because if you are short on quarterbacks, he can just step in and play quarterback while coaching the team, too. The first ever player
coach.
Oh,
my goodness. Okay, again. Well, maybe you're just going to go ahead and put him through the process of being a head coach. Maybe you're looking to hire him as your offensive coordinator.
Maybe. First known finalist for head coach.
First known finalist. Okay, once again, I will admit that I thought the Houston Texans were going to hire Brian Flores, and I still think that. Even though right now, okay, first known finalist. Okay, I'm just saying. There's other people that believe he's going to go play coach for the New York Giants, meaning Brian Flores. Wow.
He better get a job somewhere. If Brian Flores and Sean Payton are just sitting out there all next season,
yes,
I would absolutely hate to be a current coach on the hot seat with those two
right,
names
exactly.
both out there.
Man, I just thought by now we'd be hearing more about Brian Flores in Houston.
Mm.
And that really has not been the case. But Josh McCown? No way.
Okay.
Right?
If you don't want that Josh Mick, how about Josh McDaniels to the Raiders?
Man, that one right there, that is stunning.
It's
not done right now, but man, it seems so weird. Why would Josh McDaniels have not been day one when you were opening it up, right? Day one after the season, the Patriots, the season was over. Now all of a sudden you're like, okay, you got knocked out. You got knocked out of the playoffs. Josh, we'd love to talk to you, as a matter of fact. Can you go ahead and fly out here? We'd love to talk. Now, all of a sudden, why is this coming out 3 days after Sean Payton?
Well, yeah, that's probably why, right?
Why?
Why wouldn't you at least?
Why is it happening right now? It seems weird to me, Luke.
There's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of smoke here right now.
Sean Payton is out there the last 72 hours. And now, okay, so you had what, enough time to actually talk to Sean Payton where you wouldn't get hit with any tampering? What's a, talk to him and say, hey, listen, you know what? What are the odds of you actually coming here and coaching the Raiders? You got Derek Carr, a guy that's really similar to Drew Brees, very similar quarterback right there, very similar person as well. We're a playoff team. You could come in here. We got cap room as well, $23 million of cap room. Why don't you come coach us? Okay, no, you're not going to? All right, great. Now let's scramble
a little
bit. Do we
have another plan?
Josh McDaniels! You know, doesn't it seem
weird? Or maybe it was, hey, where's Josh McCown? Oh, no, Houston like already got him.
You're trying to tell me that Josh McDaniels was an afterthought. It was an afterthought.
Maybe.
No, maybe it was just you had somebody else in mind because you were tipped off that Sean Payton was actually going to be available and you couldn't get a deal done. You couldn't convince him. And because you couldn't, now all of a sudden you've got to go with Josh McDaniels.
Maybe Josh McDaniels just likes to have his name brought up every year, because is he ever actually going to take one of these coaching jobs? I mean, he took the Colts one and then went back to the Patriots before he ever coached with the Colts. And so we kind of all assumed, or at least I did, all right, he's waiting in New England. He wants to be next in line. Bill Belichick has given no indication he's going to retire.
No.
But at some point, maybe Josh McDaniels steps in there. But yet every year, there's always at least one team that's like, hey, maybe we could pry him away. It makes sense for the Raiders. It really does. And that might happen. But you're right. The behind the scenes, why would you wait till now? It's not like the Patriots just got eliminated last night.
Right. It is a surprise. You know, you just don't. Yeah. You wonder what is going on there. If you thought you had a really good shot at Sean Payton because you were tipped off that Sean Payton was going to be out there, you thought you had a really good shot at landing Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Would you wait? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not,
there really you isn't wait. Any rush yet. Like, who was it? The somebody with the Saints just said it earlier today. It's more important that they get the hire right than that they get the hire done quickly. And he's right. We're both distracted by Quan Bolden just streaking down the sidelines right in Super Bowl 43.
Did you see the way Quan hit that guy, too? I mean, honestly, he got tackled. That was a hard hit. But, man, he delivered a blow. That is Anquan Boldin. Okay, we are distracted there.
We knew this was going to happen. Also, I'm distracted by the fact that...
Little seven-man protection, slide protection, Kurt. Are you kidding me?
Just chuck it. Nice to have Steve Breast and Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald.
21
obviously in
personnel.
Order.
What a beautiful thing that is right there. And then Quan catching the ball and just hammering somebody.
I'm distracted by the fact that Herm is trending on Twitter, but I don't want to click on it because I just don't want to know.
Good.
All right. We are going to hit a break here. When we come back, Devin Booker not selected as an All-Star game starter. Does that matter anymore? And the Suns getting set for their matchup with the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. It is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The fullback and the thinback. Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
I don't know why we're both standing up to start this segment.
Every now and then, you've got to get the blood flowing, do you not, brothers?
I'm sitting back down. It is the final segment of the week, though, heading into a Friday, Wolf. A football Friday. Really, kind of the final football Friday other than Super Bowl Friday in a couple weeks.
Do not forget the Pro Bowl.
What? Do not forget the Pro Bowl? Honestly, they need to do away with playing the game. I loved the Pro Bowl, and yet at the same time, I will tell you, nobody wanted to really play in the Pro Bowl.
This is not a sport.
Until the fourth quarter came rolling around.
Yeah.
And you got paid $10,000 if you won, and the loser got $5,000.
Well, then all of a sudden it matters.
Think about this, my friends. $5,000 was suddenly on the line, and you want to see dudes who are making millions already suddenly start balling out in the fourth quarter over a $5,000 difference? It was truly, for me, it was a big deal, ladies and gentlemen.
Ain't nothing but $10,000. What's $10,000 to me?
You got that right. Ain't nothing but $10,000. Yeah, that was so many of these guys, that was their bar bill for the week. You know what I mean?
You got to break
so
even.
So they were like, man, okay, time to start balling out now.
It's not really a sport that's conducive to the playing at half speed. Like, you're either tackling somebody or you're not tackling somebody. There's not really like a, hey, can you, you can't do two-hand touch Pro Bowls, right?
Yeah, the Pro Bowl. I'll never forget the first Pro Bowl. I was out there, and I was out there with Chris Spielman. Do you know who Chris Spielman is, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, it's
Chris
really Spielman, thick face
yeah,
mask,
exactly
too,
right.
Yeah.
Chris Spielman, great. Great inside linebacker for the Detroit Lions. Chris Spielman and I were out there, and I was listening to Pink Floyd, Comfortably Numb, over and over and over again, sitting there in this equipment room that had all these dummies laid all over the floor. It was Chris and I sitting there. He was in one corner, I was in the other. We didn't say a word to each other the whole time we were in there, and we were just totally getting into it. Went out there on the field and just started jacking dudes. I mean, approached it like it was fourth quarter Super Bowl, me and Spielman.
Mm-hmm.
Dudes did not like that. Guys did not like that. They started screaming at us, yelling at us. What are you doing? You know, hey, listen, I'm going to let you do your deal. Just settle down. Guys out there playing on special teams who hadn't played special teams all year at the Pro Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Wide receivers and cornerbacks and Frank Minifield, safeties out there as well. Guys that did not play on the teams because they were so good for their team. And all of a sudden, they're out there blocking some guy that is out of his mind because he was listening to Comfortably Numb before the game started. Yeah, you know what? Just do away with the Pro Bowl because so many of the guys right now, they don't want to play in it, and that hasn't changed. But, man, the effort really has as well. At least back when I played, you get 85% out there.
Yeah.
You get a guy 80, 85% now. Man, it's not that.
So I stand by my previous statement that this is really the final Football Friday other than the Super Bowl. Now, to the Suns and...
Did you get sidetracked right there?
A little bit.
Think about it. I blame Rick.
It was Rick's fault. He stepped in. He said the Pro Bowl was more important than the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And here we are. JaVale McGee on the Suns today, talking about the All-Star snubs.
I've felt like it was a political thing. Not political, but just whoever the most popular and has the stats. It doesn't matter what your record is. Back in the day, it used to be record. I remember one year, I think Roy Hibbert got the All-Star bid, and we had close to the same averages. I think he averaged like one more rebound, but I was on the losing team. So they don't care about that. You know what I'm saying? His averages weren't that crazy either, but he was on the winning team, I think number three in the East or something at the time. So, but it's not like that no more. Thanks to Twitter, all the fan votes and everything that's more – I feel like it's a lot of fans that don't really watch basketball. They just like certain people and they pick them as an all-star. I'm not saying they don't deserve it. Everybody deserves to be an all-star. Who's an all-star? But yeah, it's more of a popularity vote.
That was the thing that drove me crazy as well back in the Pro Bowl when we would vote for Pro Bowl players. So many guys would consider what kind of team they had and just what was their record. And I was like, what does that matter? What does that matter? Look at the dude. It was the dude. He could be 0-16. He could play on an 0-16 team, but you know what? He was a personal wrecking ball. Why in the world would you have to put it in the context of how many wins they have?
But that's a little bit different in football. In football, you're dealing with 50-plus player, 53-man roster, right? Whereas basketball, like, the Suns are good because of Devin Booker.
Yeah, but, you know, once again, if you were going to vote, if you were a player in the NBA, are you telling me you would totally consider what kind of team he played on or if he was a great player?
I would go great player first, but it feels weird that the team with the best record in the NBA, and we've said this, I've said this before, the Suns are not a team with the best record in the NBA and it's spread out. Like, they've got depth, but there are very clearly two guys leading this charge. Now, they wouldn't be where they are right now if they didn't have Mikal Bridges and JaVale McGee and all these other pieces. I get that. But there are two very clear stars on this team with Devin Booker and Chris Paul. So you've got the best team in the NBA with two very clear stars that are both deserving of being all-stars. I just think you're right. Record shouldn't mean everything because it just shouldn't. But especially in the NBA more so than the NFL, I would certainly use it as a tiebreaker.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one right there. I am. But I think you have to look at the record only after you look at are they the person, the player, are they worthy of being there?
Well,
and if they are, to me, it's I'm not going to look at the record. I'm not going to do that. But I will tell you this right now, if he's worthy to play and they're the best team in the association, oh my goodness, it's a slam dunk.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't be starting with team. That's how we get Andrew Wiggins voted in, because of the team that he's on. Andrew Wiggins is having a good year, so I don't want to like trash the guy. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be an all-star,
but
he's
a fan vote.
Yeah, but that's it's Golden State. Golden State's my favorite team,
exactly,
so I'm just
right.
going to vote for them. And
exactly
it's like, cool,
right.
You're going to be the only ones watching it.
I'm talking about as a player, man. As a player, you got to consider the person. Consider the person. And if he's worthy of being an all-star, he might play on a team that stinks. But you know what? This dude doesn't stink. This guy is a great player. Now, you know, typically more times than not, you're going to have a great player in basketball, and he's going to be on a decent team because you can only put five guys out on the floor to begin with. But again, if you've got a great player and they're the best team in the league, man, that's a slam dunk.
The other thing here for the Suns now coming up, you've got Minnesota tonight. You've got San Antonio on Sunday. You got a few home games, of course, Brooklyn on Tuesday. Now, if you want to pay attention to Brooklyn, you have to pay attention to every single day with whether or not Kyrie Irving can play. But I believe he's eligible to play in that game because it's a road game for the Nets. So I got some tests here coming up. Minnesota's, you know, decent. Brooklyn is very good. And then it's funny, you get into next week, somebody was talking about the Atlanta Hawks with me. And they, to me, are the cautionary tale, right, of what the Suns could have almost become. Because the Hawks were right there last year. They were, I think it even went 7 with the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Trying to remember.
The Hawks right now are 12th in the Eastern Conference. So I think a lot of people, maybe not here, but just nationally, saw the Suns. They looked, or they bought into the, well, you know, Anthony Davis didn't play a couple games, and Jamal Murray was out, and Kawhi was out, and they were just like, oh, the Suns, they were kind of a flash in the pan, and, you know, maybe they'll go back. Well, that's actually what's happening to the Hawks. At least it appears that way. Now, they've won 5 in a row, and they're heating it up a little bit, but that was, somebody brought that up to me walking in. I was like, yeah, this is the cautionary tale of what the Suns didn't want to become, and now look at them. They're 38-9 and hosting Minnesota tonight. Minnesota's got some fun players, but I do wonder how much of a challenge this is going to be for the Suns, not having Ayton and Crowder, McGee, and all these guys with Karl Anthony Towns out there.
They got Bismack.
They do have Bismack.
They got
Bismack.
Bismack Biyombo. Don't call him Bismack. You know what? Honestly, it is Bismack, isn't it? I don't want to get into this.
This is going to bother you
the last
all
30
weekend.
Seconds
all
of
weekend,
exactly.
All season.
I don't want to do this the last 30 seconds of this show, the Bismack thing. Don't do it. Say anything other than Mr. Biyombo.
Well, Herm stopped trending before I could click on it, so that's good.
you didn't click on it?
No, I don't want to know.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Tyler Drake did tweet out what Bear was saying earlier. He tweeted out Larry Fitzgerald's LinkedIn profile. Investor, philanthropist, former athlete.
The understatement of it all.
So I guess he's not coming back.
Yeah.
Now the season's over, and he already made it clear he wasn't coming back. Now he's tweeted out former athlete. Once you put it on LinkedIn, it's official. All right. That's
peace
going to do it for us here today. Thanks to Jesse. Can't say that before I wrap up the show. Thanks to Jesse Morrison, Cody Fincher, Behind the Glass for Wolf. I'm Luke. We got Burns and Gambo coming up next right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.